Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in church. Amen. I tell you, I love church. We missed you guys last week. We were on vacation celebrating Pastor Scott's birthday. And lots of fun, but it's always good to come home to church and miss you guys. I know you had a great service last week with Pastor Rod. He's the best. Pastor Rod's the best. We love when he comes, and you never know where he's been or where he's going, because he goes everywhere. He goes where nobody wants to go. He goes, and I just love and admire him so much, and I know he gave a great word. And so today, look at your neighbor and say, today. Let's get right. Some of you didn't do it. Is that how it's going to be? All right. I'm just watching you. But today, we're still. Okay. We're going to just keep going. When I was here last, which was week before last, seems like forever ago. But when I was here, we talked about that why I give. Because here at BBC, we have a saying that we say all the time. We all know it. We say we give because we
want to.
Not because we have to. And what do we say if you don't want to?
Keep it.
Just keep it. We love you. We care about you. But, you know, if we got to play tug of war with it, we'd rather you just keep it. Amen? And so I started, you know, just it was supposed to be just a one-time message. But just, you know, I felt like the Lord was stirring to continue that. And so we're going to talk today about why I give. Amen? And just as a church, to encourage all of us what the Word says. And this message really is inspired by a book that I read by John Brevere, and you might remember him. We, on our last Connect group, he was the video series that we did called Good or God, and it's called Driven by Eternity, and it's a great book. It's a tough read. It will jerk the slack out of you, but it's good. It's good for us, and so a lot of my message today comes from there, so I encourage you, if this stirs in your heart, and you're like, man, I want to learn more about that, about eternity, and be driven by it, read that book. I encourage you to get it. It's a great book. But today we're going to talk about why I give, and hopefully you can connect too, amen? And so turn over to Psalms chapter 112. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. You can follow along on your Bible app, or we got the verses up here for you. And it says, good will come to him. How many like this so far?
Yes.
Amen? I like when everybody says, listen, good things are coming to you. It's like, all right, that sounds good to me. It says, good will come to him, and all of us ladies know that includes us too, right? Includes us, says, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. And so when we're asking the question, why do we give? Why do we want to give? We're not just talking about money. Sometimes we talk about giving. People think, it's all about money. No, there's many things you can give. Amen? We give of our time. We give of our talent, we give of our treasure, we give encouragement, we give kindness, we give all kinds of things. And so the Bible says good will come to him who. So if I want this good the Bible's talking to come to me, I got to be the who, right? And so it says good will come to him who is generous. So we got to have that spirit of generosity about us, not that stinginess, and lends freely. Who conducts his affairs with justice. We got to have integrity about things. So if the cashier accidentally gives you an extra $5 back, we're not just like, glory to God, I got blessed today. You know, we have integrity about us. We're like, yeah, okay, this, you know, give that back. And when you do, they always look at you like you're crazy, right? But, you know, we want to be people of justice. We want to be people of integrity. We want to do the right thing. And then I love this next part. It's so powerful. It says, surely he will never be shaken. Isn't that good? I mean, how many would agree that we live in a time where things that we thought were set in stone, that's how it's always going to be, have been shook, and now it's very different? We can look just at our political structure, that, think we thought, man, that will never happen. There's no way this can happen. Shake, shake, shake. Boom, it happened, right? I mean, just things are, the economy, world order, all these things, everything is shaken. But the Bible says that things can shake around me, other things can shake. But if I'm this who, it says that I don't have to be shaken. I can stand firm and stand tall, knowing from the inside out that whatever happens, whatever comes, whoever is, whoever isn't, whatever comes in the mail, whatever comes in the phone, whatever somebody says to me, I can stand strong and not be shaken by it because of who I am. Amen? It says, I love that. It says, surely he will never be shaken. And it says, a righteous man will be remembered forever. And so when we talk about why we give of our time, why we give of our talent, why we give of our treasure, why do we do that? And really, it's because I give, when people ask me, why do you give? I give so that my life lives on. Amen? I want to give to things, and I want to be part of things that are not temporary, but they are eternal. They have eternal value to them. And so I want to give to something that will outlive me. Amen? And I think about this church. This church will outlive me. It will. You know, and I think about the legacy that Pastor Mark left for us. You know, we're coming up on our 30-year anniversary as a church, and that's pretty exciting, you know? It's pretty exciting, and we think back 30 years ago, and Pastor Mark's gone on to be in heaven. But, you know, Pastor Mark started this church, for those of you who don't know. He was my biological brother, so not just my brother in the Lord, but, you know, the whole deal, the whole deal, brother. And he started this church. And I think about, you know, he went on to be with Jesus in 2004, but the church, his legacy, he gave his life to this church, and it has outlived him. When he went, we weren't like, well, that's it, you know? No, because he had planted so much in us, and when we go, when it will still carry on. And so that's why we give, because I want to give my life to something that outlives me. I want to be remembered. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be remembered. And to be remembered for the right things. And so when we talk about giving, we look here, and I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 14. We're going to talk about just giving because eternal things are more important. How many know eternity is a long time? Eternity has no end. And I was joking in first service, when we think about eternity, a lot of times we're like, oh, you know, this movie is eternal. No, it isn't. You know, this message is lasting forever. No, it isn't, right? You know, or when you have company in your house, they'll never gonna leave. Yeah, they will. Because we think like short things are, we joke that they're eternal, but sometimes we have to remind ourselves what eternity really is. Eternity has no end. This life here is very short. But what I do with this short life is going to have an impact on my eternal life. And so when people say, hey, why do you give? One of the answers can be because I understand eternity. I value eternity. Things are going to last forever. And so what happens here has an impact on my eternal life. And so here in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and 12, it says this. He says, you then, look at your neighbor and say, all right, talking about you. You, whenever the Bible says you, it's probably you, right? He says, you then, why do you judge your brother or sister? We could just stop right there and have like a whole long message. But the Bible's saying, why do you do that? And then it says, or why do you treat them with contempt? So why do you judge them and why do you think you're better than them? And then he goes on to say, for we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. And when we read this, and sometimes it can make us nervous and it can make us scared, but it really shouldn't, and this is what's called the great white throne of judgment. And I've talked about this before, and I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to enlighten you. Amen? That's my job as a pastor, is to teach you what the Word says and to help guide you along that way. And so what they're talking about here is that every single human being, every person that has lived or will ever live, we will all stand before the throne, the literal throne of God. Every one of us will. And if you're here today and you're like, well, I don't believe that, it doesn't matter. You're still going to stand there. You know? People are like, well, I don't believe in God. You know, you can tell them that while you're standing there. Because every one of us will stand before the great throne of God. Every single one of us. And when we stand there, two things are going to happen. The first and most important, more important than anything else, is that it will be revealed whether we will enter into heaven. How many want to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Those of you who didn't raise your hand, lay your hand on their head and say, brains in the name of Jesus. Give them brains. Of course you want to go to heaven. I mean, who doesn't want to go to heaven? There's mansions. Streets are made out of gold. There's no sickness. There's no crying. I mean, who doesn't want to go there? You know, and if you got this picture that we're going to turn into fat little naked babies and play harps, that's not going to happen. That's not how this works. That's not going to happen. You know, you see that on TV, you're like, I don't know if I want to go there. No, that's not what's going to happen. You're going to be you, and you will be in heaven, right? And so that first moment of what's called judgment is going to happen, and we're going to be asked, you know, they're going to say, you know, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And I want you to look at a scripture here. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 12, it says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it, and the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books, say books.
Books.
The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. So let's just get a picture of what's going to happen. I don't know exactly how this is going to happen, but I know through the Word of God what is going to happen. So we're all going to, you know, it's going to be like Peggy healed. And, you know, I'm going to come up and there I'll stand before the great white throne. And the Bible says in books, there are all these books are going to come out. And they're going to look, but there's going to be the book of life, or the Lamb's Book of Life. And when they open up the Lamb's Book of Life, the book, they're going to look for my name. My name is there. The question is yours? And how did my name get there? Not because I'm a pastor, not because, you know, I don't know, not because I tithe, not because I don't cuss. None of those reasons. That's not why. My name will be written there for one reason and one reason only. Because I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's the only way to get your name in that book. It's not by how good you are, and it doesn't not get in there because of how bad you are. Somebody would be like, whoo, thank you, Jesus, right? You know? When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our name is written in that book. And here's the good thing. Those books, that's your life. But once your name is in the books don't matter. They don't matter. Because you know what's in those books? Everything you've done, every place you've been, everything's in those books. But when your name gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all that sin, it's all forgiven. It's all forgiven. So they're not looking at the books. You're not going to get up there and be like, you know what? You stole an eraser in third grade. You're out. You know? You know, or, you know, however big, however much more maybe your book has or less. You know, we're all in different places. But it's not going to matter what you've done behaviorally. That's not going to matter. What matters is you've received Jesus. And that's the only way to get your name in that book. We don't get it by works. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We get it because Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. And we're saying, Jesus, I'm going to let you pay for my sin because you already have. And unfortunately, some people are going to get there and they're going to be looking and their name is not going to be there. And they're going to pay for their own sin. And that is not God's plan. That is not what God wants. That is not God's desire. He paid for your sin so that you could enter in. Right? But some people think God's trying to keep me out of heaven. No, God's doing everything he can to get you in. Yes. Don't listen to the lies of people that say, oh, because you're this, you can't get in. Nope. Oh, because you did this, you can't get in. Nope. Receive Jesus, you're in. Amen? Receive Jesus, you're in. Doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter your life, all that matters is you've received Jesus. It's all that matters. And so we're gonna get in. How many want to get in?
Yeah.
Right? We're going in. He's gonna be like you're at a 222 Holy Street, and there's gonna be your giant mansion, right? Or whatever. And so we're gonna be in. But once we're in, there's more to come. There's another judgment. And this one, there's judgment by grace, which all I got to do is say, I'm with Jesus, I'm in, right? I'm with Jesus, he's in my heart, I'm in. But then something else is going to happen. Down in, let's skip over to 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So in the body is the body of Christ. So where am I? I'm already in heaven. How did I get there?
Jesus.
I got in because of Jesus. I get in because I received Jesus. But once I'm in there, Jesus is going to give reward based on what I did on this earth. And so when we say, why do you give? Why do you give your time? Why do you give your talent? Why do you give your treasure? Because I want to get those rewards. And there's nothing wrong with that. All of us want to hear, and we say it all the time, well done. You guys know the rest? Thy good and faithful servant. How many want to hear that? We don't want to hear that. Because the other thing to hear is wicked and lazy. How many do not want to hear that? I don't want to hear anybody call me wicked or lazy ever, especially Jesus, right? So we all want to hear that, but if we want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, what do we got to do? We got to do something, because to be well done, got to do something. Got to do our best to be good. Got to be faithful. Amen. We got to be faithful. John Brevere said this, the walk of being a Christian, it's not a sprint. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Amen? We got to keep at it. We got to keep going. He says, like, good and faithful servant. And so if I want to hear good and faithful servant, what do I got to be? A servant. And some people are like, oh, I don't like that word. No, we want to serve people for Jesus. And so if we want to hear that, when we say, why do you give? Why is it important to you to be part of church? Why is it important to you to volunteer? Why is it important to you to give finances? Why is it important to you to use your talents for the kingdom of God? We can say, because I understand that there is an eternity that matters. Amen. Amen? I understand that one day I'll stand before Jesus himself, and he's going to want to know, what'd you do with my son Jesus, and what'd you do with the life I gave you? And I want to have a good answer. I want to live for eternity. Amen? I want to be driven by an eternal truth that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. when we talk about things that matter, things that last forever, things that will outlive us. Just one quick example. This week in our orphanage in Guatemala, we partner with 5 other churches, and between the 5 of us, we pay all the bills. And we share it. We all share the bills. And, you know, because we, a long time ago, over 12 years ago, it was in our hearts to do, but we couldn't do it by ourselves. But we could do it together with other churches. And so we did. And so the other day, we got 3 new kids in our orphanage. They were a total surprise. Look how cute they are. Aren't they cute? Now, those are cuties. A total surprise, but here's the thing. They've never been to school. They don't know their numbers. They don't know their colors. They don't know any of that stuff. And so over in Guatemala, as is the truth in most other countries, you have to pay to go to school regardless of how much money you have. And that's why so many children don't get an education, because they come from poor families and they don't have the money. And then not only do you have to pay for school, you can't wear your clothes, you got to wear a uniform. And so Jay and Valerie, who are our house parents, they are mom and dad to every one of those kids. They are a blessing. They've given their lives for these children. And so they put on Facebook, they said, hey, we need $300 for uniforms so they can start school. And we also need an extra $150. This is on top of all the light bill, the groceries, the employees, the health insurance, all this, the counseling, all the stuff that we pay. We need, and all the other kids that we pay to go to school, we do it. We do it. They said, we need another $150 a month to send the kids to school. Now, I couldn't say, we're on for the $150 a month. I couldn't say that. But what I could say on behalf of all of us was, like, I'm sending $300 right now for their uniforms. And then we put it out there, like, hey, anybody want to help out with tuition? Because those kids are going to go to school. And they are going to get an education. And we're going to treat them like they are our own every day that we have them. Amen? But that will outlive you. You know, that will outlive you. You know, there's nothing wrong with nice things, and there's nothing wrong with having nice things, but if those nice things have a greater priority than things that will outlive us, that's where the problem comes. There's nothing wrong with having a nice purse. So all the ladies say, amen. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But if that purse is more important than an eternal thing, that's where we got a problem. And so when I was so excited to give that $300 doesn't seem like a lot of money, but to them, it's going to be a big deal. They're going to get brand new clothes, brand new shoes, brand new pants, brand new shirt, all brand new everything, so they can go to school. We did that together. And so why do you give? Because you want it to outlive you. It's eternal things. It's things that matter. As a church, You pay more rent than you have any idea. There's not a month goes by that we're not paying somebody's rent. And we're excited to do it. We buy groceries all the time. We're always doing that. We are doing that. Look at your neighbor and say, that's what we did. That's what we did. You fill more gas tanks than you realize. We do that. Why? Because when you sow into a life, it outlives you. Amen? You say, why do I give? Why do I want to be part of this? Because it's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. It's of eternal value. And when we stand before Jesus, he's going to want to know, what'd you do? What'd you do with the life I gave you? What'd you do with that talent that I gave you? What did you do with the treasure that I gave you? We need to be driven by eternity, because whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, you will stand before Jesus. And he's going to want to know, did you know me? And what'd you do with your life? And so when people say, why do you give? I immediately say, because I understand eternity. I have a value on what matters most. And so how do we do that? I want to give you 3 ways to really kind of get in there and say, you know what, I want to be intentional about the things I do. But first, turn over to Matthew 16:27. It says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Some of you are like, man, I need to get busy. You probably do need to get busy. Get busy. When do you start? Right now. Amen? Right now. And then over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 11, it says this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Now listen to this next part. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Every person, whether you know Jesus, you believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter. Every person has eternity, has been set in your heart. That's why there's so many movies about the afterlife. There's so many theories and so many crazy stories. Why? Because everybody wants to know what's going to happen when I die. Because eternity has been set in our hearts. Deep down, we know we are eternal beings. Our lives do not end. Just think about that for a second. They don't end. Ever. Ever, ever. I was telling First Service, Pastor Scott and I watched this movie that was like forever. I should have listened to Pastor Devon. He told me it was not a good movie. But then it got, you know, the actress got nominated for an Oscar, as if that makes a difference. And I said, oh, let's watch it, you know. So the whole time it's on, Scott and I both are just like, when will it end, you know? But it's kind of like it's got, you know how those really bad movies that get you hooked where you just like, you just stay watching it because you want to know what happens, even though you don't care what happens. But it's like you're in a trance. You've got to find out what happens, although you don't even care what happens. It's a terrible movie. I'm not going to say what it was because maybe you liked it. Okay, it was Arrival. I did not like that movie. Some were like, I liked that movie. Good for you. We were just waiting for the aliens to shoot somebody. They never did. They never did. All they did was this. That's it. If you saw the movie, you know. That's all they did. They didn't shoot anybody. They didn't kill anybody. They didn't kidnap anybody. What kind of movie is that, right? Some are like, I really like that movie. You're obviously more mature and sophisticated than I am because I did not, you know? And I know somebody's going to come up to me after service and say, oh, but it had a beautiful, I didn't like it. And it's like 2.5 hours long. It's like long, you know? It's like, ugh. And you're sitting thinking, this movie's lasting forever. No, it isn't. Eternity is forever. It will never, think about the oldest person to ever live. That person is really still alive. Because we are eternal beings. Our lives will never, ever, ever, say it with me, ever, 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 one more, ever, end. Never. And so what I'm doing here is going to impact something that will never end. And so when we think about what we're doing here, we need to be a little more aware of how we're living and what we're doing if we want to hear, well done. Amen? And those rewards are coming. When we get to heaven, we're going to be like, how'd they get that? You know? And Jesus is going to be like, we're going to see, you know, I believe we're going to see people in heaven. They're going to have the big mansions. You know who it's going to be? The little old ladies who come and pray every day. The lady who comes and cleans the church every week. The people who are faithful and continuous and keep going and keep going. They're going to have some big, big houses. And they're going to have crowns like this. We're going to be like, how'd they get that? They were good and faithful servants while they were here. And so what do I want to do? Number one, I would encourage everybody to get this saying out of your head. Does anybody know what my least favorite saying is? It is what it is. I hate that saying. I hate that saying because when we say, usually, now some things, it is what it is, right? But even then, I can still pray. But usually when we're using that expression, we're just giving up. It is what it is, you know? Like, if your marriage is not happy, you're like, well, it is what it is. That's going to help, you know? You know? Somebody got a promotion at work and it's not you. It is what it is. Well, that could be why, right there. You know? But it's another message. Another message. But the thing is, when we're just like, it is what it is. No. It is what we say it is. Amen? We have the power of God on the inside of us. We've got the Word of God to use. We can change things, but we need to be intentional about it. Because usually when we say, it is what it is, the next thing is we're going to be singing Kumbaya around a fireplace and just be like, oh, whatever happens, happens. No. Because if that's how you're going to live, when Jesus is giving out those rewards, I don't know where you're going to be in that line. I want to be intentional. Because here's the thing, and if people will grab a hold of this truth, how many people in here you got problems? Don't point at anybody. You got problems. The rest of you just lying. We're gonna pray for that lying spirit you have. Because we all have problems. Some are big, some are small, but everybody has problems. But here's the thing, if you'll get a hold of this, when we give our lives to something greater than our problems, our problems don't seem so great anymore. And when you are part of something bigger than you, it will drive you to push through those problems. But if all you got going on is you, and more how you aren't treated fairly, and you didn't get a fair break, and you, and you, and you, and you, you got enough of you. There's enough of you. You need to get your attention on something other than you. And see, the faster and the more we learn that truth, the greater and more fulfilled our lives become. So often people are like, oh, I'm depressed, I don't feel good, blah, 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 nobody likes me, nobody cares. You're like, what are you doing? Nothing. Who are you poured into? Nobody. Who are you helping? Nobody. See the problem here? And you say, it doesn't make your problems disappear. Right. It gives you great perspective of your problems. And the more we sow, the Bible says when we pour into others, God pours into us. Yeah. So when I start giving of myself, God starts pouring into me, and he enables me and empowers me to take care of what used to consume me. Amen? It changes me. You know, I was saying, you know, you guys see us, you know, the people on the stage, you see me here on Sunday morning, and I'm like, woo, Jesus, you know, I mean, that's what I do here. But you know, what you may not see, what you may not know, is I've been through a lot of things. You know, my life is, I have a very blessed life, but I've been through a lot of stuff. Have I had great loss in my life? Yes, absolutely. Have I had big disappointments? Absolutely. Have I been hurt by people that I trusted? More than once. Have I been betrayed and stabbed in the back? Unfortunately. Yeah. But you know what? Because I've given my life to something bigger, it pulls me through all that. Amen? And in all of that, I've never thought about quitting. I've never said, I'm done. Never. You can ask my husband. Never have I walked in the house and said, I'm done. Have I wanted to strangle people? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Have I wanted to smack a couple? Yes. Yeah. Has my heart been broken because, you know, you can lead a horse to water? Yes. Many times. Many times. But because you give and you sow and you're intentional, you give yourself to something bigger than you and your problems, it pulls you through your problems. Some of you are like, man, I want to feel valued. Give your life away. The two most important days of your life is when you get born again, and the second is what you discover why you're here. That's why we do the 301 class. And we take those personality tests, and we take those gifts tests so that you can see on a paper and it can look back at you and you can see you're here to shepherd. You're here to administrate. You're here to pray. You're here to give what you're here for. Because once you get born again, you are in the army of the Lord. Amen? And the sooner you step up, the sooner life's going to get better. People, we're selfish beings. We're selfish. That's how we're made that way. It's our sin nature. And we want to just take and take and consume. But the sooner we realize that the more I give, the happier I will be, oh, the better life is. But we got to make a decision. I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to be that generous person who gives and lends freely. So then I won't be shaken no matter what happens. That's God's promise to you. But how do I do it? Let's be intentional givers. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 11 says, you, look at your neighbor and say, it's talking about you. It's you. When the Bible says you, who is it?
Me.
He says, you will be made rich.
Woo.
I'm thinking, no amen on that. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You've been made rich. And you know what? Whether you realize it or not, if you're here, you're in the United States of America, you are rich. We got a lot of issues as a nation, but we are blessed. If you don't know that, you've never been anywhere. If you don't know that, you've never been to another country. Because trust me when I tell you, you go to another country and you're like, oh, thank God I'm home. Amen? We got issues. There's no denying that. But we got a lot of good going on too. And you are rich. Why has God made you rich? Why are you here? Why are you talented? Why are you gifted? To give it. To give it. Amen? That's why you have those skills. And what's going to happen? Your generosity is going to result in thanksgiving to God. Because you are generous with your talent. You are generous with your treasure. You are generous with your time. God will be magnified. Amen? But we got to make a decision. I'm going to be intentional about my giving, about my financial giving. Listen, let me let you in on something. You want financial giving to work for you? Work it right. You want it to work, do it right. You can't, and listen, you give whatever you want to give, but if you want it to work, make a decision before you get here what you're going to give. Amen? Have some goals. I gave two testimonies this morning. I give one. I remember a guy, he was a single dad. This is years ago, a single dad. And he was meeting with Pastor Mark, and he was broken. He had lost his job. It was around Christmas time. And he told Pastor, he said, I don't have any money to take care of my kids, to buy them presents. I don't have any money. So Pastor Mark called me. He said, listen, I need you to buy toys for these kids, make it a good Christmas for them. I was like, okay. You know, so I went to Walmart, I buy all these toys, and I bring them back. And, you know, that's hard. That's hard for a parent. You know, you want to take care of your kids. And he was like, so thankful. And he looked at Pastor and me and he said, one day I'm going to be the one to do this. And do you know that man still attends our church? His kids are grown now. And every year he is intentional. He saves money all year long. And when that foster care tree goes up, he starts picking names. And then he comes every year and asks me, Pastor Peggy, are there any kids in our church who need help with Christmas? And he says, I'll never forget when the church did Christmas for my kids. That's how it's supposed to work. Amen. You may be here today and maybe you're the one getting help. You need to make a decision. I'm going to be an intentional giver so that one day I will be the one paying the rent, buying the presents, paying the groceries, paying the gas. It'll be me. But you got to be intentional about it. You got to make a decision. That's going to be me. Another family that, you know, and I'm not naming any names, another family at one time, just homeless, had nothing. We're given to them. And I'll never forget, the dad said to me, he said, one day I'm going to be one of the biggest givers in this church. And you know what? The only way to get yourself out of the financial mess you're in is giving. That's the only way it works. You say, oh, I need another job. I need this. No, where you need to start is giving. Because once you start giving, the power of God comes on your finances, and that is what breaks the bond of poverty. It's the only thing. I've seen it. I've lived it. I know it. And that man looked at me and he said, one day, I'm going to be one of the biggest givers in this church. And he's writing big checks now. But back then, he was coming in with $5 because he made $50. He was coming in with $10 because he made $100. When you're faithful over the little, God will reward you. Amen? And so listen, don't ever say, oh, I don't have much to give. You give and you become an intentional giver. Where you say, man, that's who I am. I'm a giver. I am a giver. I'm not just like, all I got this week is a buck, Lord. That's it. Here you go. Oh, Lord, you know, this week you just don't. No, no, no. God comes first. God comes first. The mistake we make as believers so often is when that our standard of living goes, we get an increase in pay or we get a raise. We're like, oh, I can buy more stuff. Listen, instead of increasing our standard of living, let's have a mindset, I'm going to increase my standard of giving. Why? Because what happens here is temporary. What happens on the other side is eternal. Amen? But I want to live for eternity, so I want to be an intentional giver. Let's make some decisions. Let's make some goals. You know what? If last year when the foster care tree went up and you were like, oh, I don't have any money. I wish I would have had some money. Listen, it's March. Make a decision now. Put a couple of dollars away every week. So I don't have a cup. Hey, you know what? Instead of going through Starbucks, put that $3 in a little cup. Yes. Amen. Do it every week. You do what you got to do. Because you are intentional. Intentional. Let's be. So then when December comes, you're like, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm a giver. It's my intention. It's what I want to do because I believe in what God says. Next thing is, let's intentionally serve. Let's make a decision. I'm going to serve people. I'm going to serve people. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 26, it says, whoever wants to become great among you. Anybody want to become great? There's no shame in that. God put in you to be great. You're a child of the King of Kings. It's okay to want to be great. But he says, listen, whoever wants to become great, whoever wants that, you must first be a servant first. You say, well, I don't mind being a servant. Well, how do you feel when people ask you to do stuff? Some people are like, oh, I'm a servant. Can you go get this? What? Oh, I'm a servant. Can you help clean the church? Oh, I don't do that. I don't do that. You know, we want to serve. We got to have that heart of being a servant. And you know, I encourage you, if this is your church, if BBC is your home church and you've been here for a while and maybe you came in and you were wounded and you were hurt, now you're better. So what do you need to do? Get on a team and start serving. This is your house. And you say, well, what's that going to do? When we serve, it changes us. And the circumstances are not always perfect. They're not always perfect. I was joking in first service about my first opportunity to serve in the church was a nightmare. It was a nightmare because we rented the Haverhill Town Hall at this time. Pastor Norm remembers. I don't think anybody else was there. Was anybody else there? Oh, Sandy, you were there. Yeah, of course you were there. Anybody else? I don't think so. Daryl and Angela came at the other place we were at. But anyway, we rented this little place, and Pastor Mark came and he said, Peggy, will you do children's ministry? I didn't even know what that was. I was like, you want me to babysit? He's like, no, no, no. We don't call it babysitting. It's children's ministry. I was like, okay, you know, all right, I'll do it. And so I had every age group because there was only one. It was a galley kitchen. You know what that is? It's just just walk in it, cabinets on both sides, a galley kitchen. That's it. That was my classroom. And I had a little girl. It wasn't Candace Weddle. It was Christina Weddle. She was in diapers. So I had her on my hip. I had Chris and Jared pray for me. Chris and Jared, I had the other Weddle kids, praise the Lord. And then, I mean, you know, so I had like a baby and a teenager all in this galley kitchen. And I'm supposed to do children's ministry. So you know what I did? I just got her on my hip and walked down to the gas station and bought everybody a candy bar every Sunday night. Now, we've changed a lot since then. We don't do that anymore. But what was I supposed to do? Number one, I have no idea what I'm doing. Number two, I'm in a galley kitchen and no helper, which that's against the rules. You're not supposed to do, but this is a long time ago. And then when we were in the room, the usher was constantly coming back and going, the one usher we had, shh. And I believe at this time, Pastor Norm was the guitar. He was the praise and worship leader on his guitar with Donna playing the keyboard. That was it. And every Sunday, they'd bring in these gigantic speakers, and they would set up all the chairs, and they'd set up and tear down. I mean, it was a mess, but God was moving. God was moving. It was awesome. But I tell you what, every Sunday night, I'd be like, I'm not doing this anymore. This is crazy. This does not work. And Pastor Mark would come to me, and he would say, I was the only person he had, and I was his sister, you know? And he would say, Peggy, he said, listen, while you're watching these kids, their moms and their dads are getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're getting prayed for, and things are happening. You got to do it. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can do it, you know? I'm doing it. But I tell you what, it was tough. And I was really very unqualified because I'm not even a super kid person anyway, you know. I mean, and then Naomi Russell, I remember Naomi. Yeah. She did it after I did, and I was like, you know, just take them, get them a candy bar. It works, you know. You know, just do that. But one day she took him to get a candy bar, and service got out early. And so all the parents came back, and they're like, "Where's my kid?" We're like, "They're at the gas station down the street," you know. So thank God we have improved greatly. And I'll never forget that Charlotte Ray Rigg started coming to our church, and she was called to children's ministry. And she was like, now what do you do? And I was like, well, I take them to the gas station to get a candy bar. She fired me instantly. And I've never been so happy in my life. And she made it wonderful, and our children's ministry grew from there. My point is that sometimes where you serve may not be exactly where you think you're going to wind up. It's not a life sentence, but you go where it's needed. Yeah. You know, some people are like, hey, you know, I don't feel led to do anything. Big deal. You don't need to feel led. Just get in and do something. Amen. Everybody's waiting to be led. I was a pastor who used to keep a little piece of lead in his pocket. And when people said, oh, I don't feel lead, he'd be like, here, touch this. Now you feel lead, right? But we need to make a decision. That's a good one. We should steal that. We need to make a decision. I'm going to serve. I'm a giver and I'm a servant. And the last thing, I share Jesus. Amen. Eternity is a long time. And the Bible says, this is out of the New Living, it says, we are Christ ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. You know how people are going to know Jesus? Through you. And when you give intentionally and you serve intentionally, your life becomes appealing. It becomes appealing because something changes in you. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is making his appeal through us. We're here to tell people about Jesus. And we've all heard that saying, the only Bible a lot of people will ever read is you. Is you. How I live my life is way more important than the words I say. So when I make a decision to be generous, I make a decision to be a servant, it makes me appealing. Amen? People will be drawn to what God is doing in you. And when you say, when somebody asks you, why do you give? Because I'm sure somebody said that to you. If you tell somebody you're a tither, they probably look at you like you're crazy, like, what? He said, but you know why? Because I understand eternity. I understand eternity. And this is temporary. But what I do here is very important for what happens there. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for every person in this room today. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that maybe when they stand before the great white throne of judgment, when the Lamb's book of life is opened, maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, I'm not sure my name is in there. Well, today you can be sure. How does our name get written in that beautiful book? It's when we receive what Jesus has done for us. The Bible says the wages or the cost of sin is death. And Jesus said, I'll pay for you. I'll pay the price of your sin. But you have to let him. You let him by receiving him as your rescue, as your Lord, as your Savior. People make stuff complicated, but God makes things easy. The Bible says when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. So if you're here today and you say, I want to make sure my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, then raise your hand up big and tall, and we're going to say a prayer together. Anybody like that before we move on? I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand over there, sir. Anyone else? See, that's me. I just want to be sure. I want to know. And it isn't about what you're doing. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, oh, but I've done this. It doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what Jesus has done. He said, I paid the price for anything you've done. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, but I don't understand everything. I don't have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers to receive Jesus. He'll help you find the answers. You know, I don't know everything about electricity, but I still use it every day. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to open your heart and say yes to Jesus. Anybody want to join these few before we move on? Anybody else? Say, that's me. That's me, Peggy. Let's say this prayer together. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, and he rose again, all for me. I repent, turn away from a life without him, and I embrace Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. He loves me, he forgives me, he restores me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo, aren't you glad that God's so good? Amen. Now listen, if you're here today and you raise your hand and you say, oh, but I still got a lot of issues, join the crowd. We all do. Amen. That's what God will help you with. God will help you every day with everything that's going on in with your life. But now you've got Jesus to help you. Amen. We're going to receive our offering. What do we say here? We say we give because we...